Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Morning Drive, Tuesday edition. Derek Mason, Braden Gall here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds back on the ice tonight against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Pregame at 6, puck drop at 7. You got Top 4 Tuesday, of course, as the college football playoff rankings are coming out. But that's just a 4-team playoff. You know who does it the right way, Derek? 32-team playoffs. That's the real stuff. Mark Hudspeth joining us here, head football coach of your Austin Peay Governors. Coach, how are you, sir? Congratulations on a playoff W over Furman. How you feeling today?
Hey, we're feeling good. Excited about this opportunity to advance in the FCS playoffs, and got a tall order this weekend heading to Sacramento State. But excited to where our team is at this moment.
So go ahead, Derek.
No, so Coach, I mean, how does it feel? Because for so long, and we know, you know, historically what this program has been through. How does it feel just this year? Because I've seen the interviews with the players and the guys that have been there through a lot of this. And now, you know, the seniors that have, you know, been through the ups and the downs, more downs than the ups. Now they get a chance. You know, they win the conference. They win a playoff game. And now they're in a position like, man, we never thought this would happen, but it has. What has that feeling been like? Not just for you, but for the players.
Well, I'm just really proud of these guys, and I'm just proud for the university in general, the our city here, and our players, and especially the players that have endured. I mean, we've got some players on our team that were part of that last 0-11 team, and now they leave here, you know, OVC champions. They've won a school record 10 games, so they really probably deserve the success, and I'm really proud that, you know, we can come in and help get this thing, you know, continue going in the right direction, and really feel like that the future is really bright for our football program.
Mark Hudspeth joining us here, Austin Peay head football coach again. I mean, it's hard to argue the greatest season of Austin Peay football to date. I know you still have a lot of work to do left with Sacramento State coming up, but you've been sort of through the tournament experience. You've coached, obviously, in the SEC as an assistant with Mississippi State. You were the head coach at Louisiana for a long time. You've been at North Alabama. Like, you've seen what tournament football looks like, and you've also seen what the top-level football looks like. How is it different preparing throughout the course of a season, knowing that you've got this really long, extended potential tournament at the end of the year? How does it change how you handle and manage a football program?
Well, you know, I've always thought that, you know, Division II and FCS is always had it figured out. And it's funny now that FBS is starting to figure it out a little bit. You know, they don't have the big tournaments yet, but they've got four teams. And I do expect that to expand in the future. To me, it's the only way to really crown a true champion. And, you know, you have to win five games in the FCS playoffs and the Division II playoffs if you're going to win it all, which is a pretty extended season. And so, you know, it takes some endurance. You've got to stay healthy, and it also, you know, takes some mental endurance to endure a 17-week season. And so it's pretty long. So, but you know what? That is the challenge of it all, and it's not a sprint. It's somewhat of a marathon once you get to this point. It is a sprint during the football season, because football is not like basketball or baseball. You don't have that luxury of losing two or three and then maybe getting hot. You've got to really be strong in the regular season to get to the playoffs, and then when you get there, you've got to endure a pretty tough schedule, travel and the teams that you play.
Now, Sacramento State is coming in 9-3 overall, 7-1 in their conference. This is going to be a tough game for you guys. But in that, what problems do they pose for you and your ball team in order to – how do you get a win in order to advance? I know all of the, hey, we got to play good defense, good offense, no turnovers. But beside that –
You know, here's the challenge for these guys. This is the best defensive FCS football team that I believe I may have ever seen. They are loaded defensively. They should have beat Arizona State. Arizona State squeaked one out against them, and they outplayed them. So they played a tough schedule. So it's going to be a challenge, especially going out to their place. But our players are up for the challenge. Nobody gave them a chance against Furman, a team that, you know, had been to 18 straight playoff appearances and won a national championship. And nobody gave them a chance against Jacksonville State, who had won this league five straight years. And so they continually rise to the challenge. And that says a lot about those guys. And to be honest with you, that's sort of what we've tried to develop in the culture of our program. And so we're not where we want to be yet, but I think we're making progress.
Mark Hudspeth joining us, your head coach at Austin Peay. And I'm you know, pretend I'm like a 17-year-old who's got offers from, you know, all across the Mid-South area, Middle Tennessee area. I could go play at Troy. I could go play at Middle Tennessee State. I could go play at Memphis. I could go play at Ole Miss. I could go play at any of these places, Kentucky, you know, all these different places. Why should that player come to Austin Peay?
You know what I tell a lot of guys after I've been here for a year, and this is what I've learned about Austin Peay and what I've learned about Clarksville. And, you know, every university is going to have a stadium. Every university is going to have a weight room. Every university is going to have a library, a cafeteria. You know, those things are all good. But you're only going to be in that stadium six times a year. You're only going to be in the library a few times a year. You're only going to be in every building, you know, so many times. What separates some universities from others is the people. Who is your son going to be with for 5 years, every day, day in and day out? And that's the thing that I've really come to see, that we have here an incredible athletic department staff, incredible faculty. Our president is so engaged athletically. This is where you come, where you want to drop your son or daughter off, but you know they're going to be with good people, from the strength coaches to their coaches to their support personnel to academic people. And you know what? That's so true, because when my daughter signed a basketball scholarship and I went around on the tour with her, and I wasn't interested in seeing who had the biggest stadium. I wanted to know who was going to be with my daughter every single day, and that's what we made our decision on.
Coach, man, congratulations on such an awesome season for you guys up there, and best of luck against Sacramento State. I know it's a huge tournament, but your work's not done yet, and so congratulations and best of luck, man. We do appreciate it.
Hey, guys, thanks for having us on. We're excited about this, and we really appreciate the exposure you guys are giving us down that way, and get a chance to come see us. Go Govs.
There you go.
Absolutely.
The best season in Austin Peay football history, on the heels, pun intended, of course, of Will Healy, the job he did at Austin Peay.
Absolutely.
Who's now at Charlotte, and we've had Will Healy on the show multiple times because I was like, that dude's going to be a star one day. And Charlotte is now in a bowl game for the first time ever in program history. So Will Healy's doing things. Now Mark Hudspeth, who was a pretty good coach, worked under Dan Mullen at Mississippi State, was a head coach at Louisiana. Now he's running things at Austin Peay. That's a guy with a lot of experience that that program could not have hired had Will Healy not done what he did at Austin Peay. Austin Peay, relevant in football, baby.
Can they potentially turn into a Western Kentucky? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, coaches go there, good coaches, and then eventually they leave, but they are able to get other jobs because of the excellent job they've done at, say, they did at Western Kentucky. It could be that.
Yeah.
Can it be that same way with Austin Peay?
I think it can at that level. But the question is, and again, hiring Mark Hudspeth, the guy who is, you know, it's a guy who was going to New Orleans Bowls, winning the Sun Belt every year at Louisiana. I think he won three straight conference championships, or was in three straight conference championship games, and he went to three straight New Orleans Bowls at Louisiana, formerly known as the Louisiana Lafayette. Now it's like if you call it the University of Louisiana, you go to prison or something in Angola in New Orleans. But it's, you know, the Raging Cajuns, that's a higher level program significantly than Austin Peay, and so for them to get a guy that has that level of experience, I think that's a testament to where that program has come. Mm-hmm. It's going to take some time to find another Will Healy, like to find another rising star that sort of takes an 0-11 team, builds it into a playoff team, and then goes on to a bigger job. I think Will Healy is a name. Certainly Memphis if they lose Mike Norvell, but if I'm Missouri or Arkansas, I know you love Joe Brady. I would look at Will Healy at Charlotte, at University of Charlotte, and say that dude is gonna be a Power Five coach one day. And Hudspeth is just taking it to another level. It's a great season. It's a great story, and I hope people pay attention. They'll be playing Sacramento State in the round of 32. Imagine that, 32 teams in a playoff in football. Think about that. That's crazy. I got another equation for you guys before we go to break here, and you're really going to like this. And it all adds up to big savings. Let's do the math. Now you can get Xfinity Internet and Xfinity Mobile for $30 each a month. That equals awesome Wi-Fi from America's best internet provider and the best LTE on the go. It's the ultimate coverage solution. It's all in the numbers. You can save up to $400 a year on your wireless bill with Xfinity Mobile. And until December 8th, you can even get a $250 off deal when you purchase an eligible smartphone. It's basically the perfect equation. Xfinity makes saving simple, easy, and awesome. That's right. Don't miss out on Xfinity Internet and Mobile. Each for $30 a month, you'll get internet now with up to 100 megabits per second download speed for 12 months with a one-year agreement. And Xfinity Mobile with 3 gigs of shared wireless data. Go to Xfinity.com/save big. It's Xfinity.com/save big. Call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay. Internet offer ends 12/8/19. New performance internet customers only. Equipment taxes and fees extra and subject to change. After agreement term, regular rates apply. Wireless savings compare on averages to top providers. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Who will start in net tonight for the Preds? We'll do that when we return right here on Morning Drive. Chris Mason coming up in just a few minutes. This week, Penalty Box Radio hits the streets. Join Justin Bradford and Glenn Blackwell this Wednesday as they broadcast live from Cherokee Steakhouse, located at 450 Cherokee Dock Road in Lebanon, from 8 to 9 p.m. That's Lebanon. That's where my family lives now.
Lebanon.
How you got to say it. They used to be down there in Wilco, and now they're out in Lebanon. You know, normal move for most people from Wilco to Lebanon. Yeah.
Is Wilco Williamson County?
Yeah, Wilco.
Okay, Wilco, yeah. My bad.
Great band, too.
I didn't know that.
I just started calling them that. I don't know. Nothing I've ever done has ever, quote, caught on. So
but that might catch on, Wilco. All right. That might catch on.
Okay.
Somebody might think that's a street on East Nashville or something.
No, it's actually like a, it would say like Wilco and sausage. And it would be like a, and it'd be like a restaurant. You know, like you had, no restaurants in the city now can just be like a name. It has to have like blank and blank. Right? Like, it has to be Rolf and Daughters. It can't be just... Yeah. Although, I guess City House and Husker, just one word, I guess, but two words. Yeah. I'm having trouble counting right now. Mark Hudspeth has me so flustered.
Right, just, they're doing a good
job. I'm so excited
man.
About they're Austin P football. Job. No, it's cool to see, man. It's cool to see a team like that. First ever playoff win for that program, 10-win season. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people aren't watching that stuff, but pay attention to it, man. That Austin P program... You know, there's a lot of good players in this area, and if they don't want to go to Vanderbilt or Middle Tennessee or some of these other bigger programs, Western Kentucky, Austin Peay is looking like a far better option than it ever was. Like, I had an Austin Peay offer coming out of high school, and that was not a good place to go play football.
Yeah, like, I don't want to go
there.
There's
a reason I got an offer
from Austin Peay. I don't want to go there. But, no, that program is being turned around, and it started with Will.
That's fun.
And now it's continuing, so... You know, kudos to that program and good luck to them versus Sacramento State. So we'll see where it goes.
So coming up tonight, Preds back on the ice at, and Chris Mason will join us coming up in a few minutes, but back on the ice tonight, pregame at 6, puck drop at 7. Pecorine and UC Soros, there is an ongoing conversation right now.
Saga. You know,
and I don't think that there's no controversy. I don't, you know, I don't think this is the changing of the guard moment we've been talking about for years. Although that moment is going to come at some point because Pecorine at 37 years old is going to eventually, you know, the play will diminish at some point. It happens to everybody at that age. And so having, and UC Saros is plenty ready. He's not necessarily going to automatically just take over and be a stud right away. I think there's some growing pains that are going to happen, but he's clearly earned the right to play more, and he's been better lately. A 220 goals against average with a 920 save percentage in his last 8 starts. That's been far better than Pekka over the last month and a half. Pekka was far better the first month, and that's why he got more starts. Lavi's playing the hot hand. I have no problem with that right now, and it gives them a nice... You know, two dudes are going to push each other. They have a great relationship, Saros and Rene. They're going to push each other. They both are undefeated against Tampa Bay Lifetime tonight, so either guy is a good option. Pekka coming off one of his better starts of the year on Friday, where his team didn't exactly help him a lot, but he pitched a shutout. I don't think it's a controversy. I think it's good for the Predators to be in this mode right now in December, figuring out who this goaltender is. I don't want to be in this same situation at the end of March.
No, you don't. But my prediction is this. UC Soros will be the main goalkeeper, especially heading to the playoffs.
You think game one of the playoffs, if they make it,
I think
UC's
I think it's Soros. Okay. I just don't think as good as Pekka has been throughout his career, he has not played well in the playoffs. And, you know, we all, that's what it boils down to. How were you in the playoffs? We've seen pitchers, you know, going, did they have great off, you know, Price, well, prime example for a while, you know, he struggled in the playoffs, you know, great during the regular season, but struggled in the playoffs. There are people that just, you know, they play good throughout the season. And then when the playoffs come, for some reason, they just don't have it. You see it with pitchers, you see it with quarterbacks, you see it with coaches. Andy Reid was the same way. Great during the regular season. In the playoffs, it's just not good based upon his record. So, to me, I just predict this, and I think people are scared to say it because it's like, oh, you're disrespecting Pecorino. It's no disrespect to Pecorino. Actually, it's respect to UC Soros that he's able to go out there with Pekka being there and still, you know, be the player he has been for this organization. It's not a slight to Pecorino whatsoever.
In fact, I would argue it's another reason to say something positive about Pecorino, because I think, honestly, Pecorino's, no player will ever say, I want to be on the bench. Mm-hmm. But if Pecorino feels that UC Soros is playing better hockey than him, he will support UC Soros.
Exactly.
And that's what makes this unusual, is that they have such a great relationship. Familial. Their relationship is like a family, and he will support UC Soros any way that he can, which is not the way a normal backup quarterback would treat it or anybody like that. Like, it's not normal. And so I actually would say, like, I agree with you. I think that if they start game one, now Pekka could turn it around.
Uh-huh. Yeah, of course.
And be great going into the postseason. I think there are plenty of Preds fans, like you said, they don't want to say it out loud, but they might feel more comfortable with UC Soros as their starter. Now, let's see what happens the rest of the season, but might be comfortable with UC Soros as the starter going into game one of a playoff series. Pecorino is borderline Hall of Famer, probably the greatest player in franchise history. It doesn't mean that he's the right guy to start in a playoff series. Today,
no, you're right.
At his age, in 2020, when this time comes in April and May, there's no telling who's going to be the better guy at that time. You just need to have it figured out by then.
Exactly.
I think right now it's healthy. Right now it's good for your team. But I think by then you want to have a guy. And oh, by the way, whatever happens, you've got another great option to fall back to. That's the luxury of this.
That's the good part about it, is that you're not married, so to speak, to one guy. Why? Because both guys are really good. And if you go into it with UC Soros and things are not going well, you can say, hey, Pekka's there. If you go into it with Pekka and things are not going well, then you can say UC's there and he's proven that he can come in and protect the net the way we want him to. So, again, it's not a slight to Pecorino, but one player or person has never been defeated, and that's father time or mother time, whatever you want to call it. They're undefeated, and eventually it catches up with you. And whether people want to acknowledge it or not, it's starting to catch. I'm not saying he's done. That's like saying, you know, the New England Patriots are done. No, they're not done. I'm not saying Pekka's done, but, you know,
I don't think the
light at the end of the tunnel was closer. I think.
Of course.
And UC is just playing. And so I'm not scared to say, hey, listen, I believe and I predict that UC will be the guy heading into the playoffs, because I'm confident they will make the playoffs.
And they're not going to get to the playoffs without both of them.
Exactly.
They have to have both of them to get to the playoffs. Pekka was great early. He goes 8-0-2, the best start ever, blah, 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 blah. Then he starts, frankly, not playing good hockey. Mm-hmm. And UC Soros started off slow. Now he's playing better hockey. If they're going to keep doing that all year, then they'll have a chance to win more games than they lose. Because as long as one of those guys is playing well, the other one will be supportive of him. And again, the relationship is what makes it very unusual. They are not angry at each other for starting. They are going to compete with each other. And we know Pecorino is the ultimate competitor. That dude spends every practice trying to play every shot like it's game 7 of the Stanley Cup, because that's the kind of guy he is. That will make UC Soros better. It makes all the other players better on the team, his professionalism. So I think it's a great situation to be in today, December 3rd. February 3rd, March 3rd, April 3rd, they're going to be very different conversations at that point. But right now, I think it's a very healthy thing for this team to be in the situation that it is, fighting to be back in the playoffs with two guys that at any given moment could go out and play brilliantly. Again, Pekka wasn't playing good hockey at all, been pulled in three out of his four last starts. Then he goes on Friday night and carries a team to a 3-0 win against Carolina. So he still has plenty left in the tank. The question is, what does it look like at the end of the season? I think they're in a good spot right now. So we shall see. You know who can give us really good insight on goaltending for the Nashville Predators? Chris Mason.
Absolutely.
Chris Mason can do that. So we'll talk to C-Mace when we return right here on Morning Drive. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds back on the ice tonight. Chris Mason joining us here, of course, C-Mace on the television broadcast. Pre-game at 6, puck drop at 7. If you're not listening, of course, on ESPN 102.5 The Game, you can check him out on Fox Sports there. C-Mace, how are you, buddy? How was your Thanksgiving, man?
I'm doing great, buddy. How are you guys?
Doing well, doing well. What do you make of, and you played the position for many years at a very, very high level. UC Saros and Pekka Rinne have an extraordinary relationship. It feels like Pekka great at the beginning of the year, UC not as much. Now UC's playing better, Pekka maybe not as much. How much of a luxury is it at this point of the season to have these two guys, and how much do you want an actual pecking order worked out before the playoffs start?
You know, it's obviously great to have that situation. I mean, you know, it's something I think a lot of people don't quite understand, that relationship. And usually some of the best friends that I had on my team were always goalies. And it's kind of funny because you're competing for the same ice time and only one of you can play. But I think, you know, in this situation, especially with them both being from Finland, young, old, one is kind of an older school, one's kind of a new school. I just think it's the perfect match made in heaven, I guess, for a goalie tandem in terms of the way that UC's developed and the way that Pekka's really evolved his game. So I think that's awesome. But, you know, as of now, I don't think there definitely needs to be a pecking order by playoffs, which is a long, long time away, and there's a long way to go before there. I think eventually you want to obviously get a guy that you're going to go with, and you say, well, he's going to be starting playoffs. But as of now, looks like they're both playing well. Pekka's, you know, coming off a shutout. He had his little tough stretch there, and you mentioned Saros at the beginning of the year. But it's huge. It's huge to have that position solidified. So if both guys are going great, it makes things easier, or maybe tougher for the coaches, but a lot easier for the guys in front of them.
Now, Pekka, I mean, I said not Pekka.
It's very complimentary.
Exactly. C-Mace, obviously, you know, the sort of tourist watch is in full effect, considering what has happened up until this point. Arvi going down, you know, Peter choosing to, you know, bring guys up to kind of, you know, be in his place. And not turning toward Turris. Do you think we will see Kyle Turris tonight or anytime within the next two or three games?
Well, based on practice, it looks that way. And I think, you know, it's probably a good time, especially matchup-wise. And, you know, personally, I hope this, you know, when it's going on, and I guess, you know, sometimes you question – you know, everybody questions every decision made in sports, and that's a good thing, I think. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's a coach's decision. And I think he was putting a lineup that he felt, you know, needed some balance in terms of the, you know, having certain role player guys that are able to defend, play a heavy game, along with your skill guys to complement that. And that's, you know, that's important to have that balance, especially when you have lines that you need to play certain roles out there, and you need X amount of penalty killers and all that type of thing. But, you know, Kyle Turris is a proven commodity. He's been a star player in this league. He's put up a lot of points. And this is, you know, hopefully coming on to a thing of the past. And if he gets an opportunity tonight, he'll looks like he's slotted in one of the top two lines. So that's where he should be in a lineup. And that suits his game. So I think if we see him tonight, he's going to obviously have a lot of eyes on him. But, you know, he's been a top player in this league, so I don't see any reason why he can't get back in the lineup tonight and stay there.
C-Mace, just take us through, like, the human element of this, which is you're a guy who has been and I'm sure during stretches of your career where you maybe weren't the starter, you just talked about competing with guys for ice time, and you're sitting on the bench, but you have to sort of mentally be ready at any moment to go into the game. Either because you've been named a starter for that night or whatever. In Kyle's case, he's making a lot of money. You got to be a professional about it. So sort of take the fans through the actual human side of this. How hard is it to stay? Because we hear about the backup quarterback in football all the time. Hey, be ready when your number is called. How hard is it actually mentally to stay ready when your number is called, but not be in the game for a week or 2 weeks? What is the mental side of that like?
It is hard, honestly, and especially, you know, in a situation like Kyle's been in. It's tough because you want to play. You expect to play. You obviously have a lot of belief in your game and that you should be out there, and it's nothing against your teammates or the guys that are playing on the ice. You're going to be 100% supportive of them, and you know, you're going to be happy when they win and all those types of things. But when you're not playing the games and you have to go to the rink and you have to stay because you have to get bag skated after to keep your conditioning level up and, you know, all these types of things, you're on the ice early, which is good too. It's good to get that. But after a while, it becomes tough to do. And mentally, it is a battle because, you know, during the games, guys are on the ice and they're playing the game and, you know, you're working out trying to, you know, keep your strength and conditioning up while the guys are playing a game. And it's tough. And especially, you know, this is probably something that, you know, Turris hasn't had to go through in his career, or much of it anyway, unless he was, you know, back in his younger days, I'm not sure. So it is tough. But again, you know, the closer you get and getting back into that lineup, and, you know, hopefully if he gets in there tonight, he'll be ready to go and he'll get the juices flowing and you get that nerves and that excitement to get back in the lineup as well, you know, to get that rush of the adrenaline of playing in a game and battling with your teammates. So it can be a good thing. And I'm just hoping, you know, this gets, you know, he comes in, plays a good game. And then, you know, later down the road in the season, we won't even be, you know, we won't be worrying about this. We'll be looking back as, you know, a part of the season that, you know, these tough times and all those sorts of things are part of the whole bigger picture in the story.
Chris Mason joining us here on Morning Drive. We will be giving away two tickets to tonight's game coming up in like 5 minutes, so you don't want to miss that. And by the way, I apologize, the game on NBCSN, Chris, so I apologize. Not on the call, of course, tonight, but you'd be in the building, right?
I'll be in the house, oh yeah.
I'll be there. There we go. Now, yeah. The Preds have won three of the last five games, and we know what went on before that. They were in this slump. They were giving up goals in bunches. What do you believe has been sort of the change for them? Has it been because they hadn't scored as many goals, but they haven't given up no more than, you know, four goals? I think they gave up four against the Golden Knights. But before that, you know, they gave up seven, they gave up five, they gave up six. Do you think it's more so a true concentration toward playing hard-nosed defense?
I do. I think, you know, there's got to be a realization, I think, for a team if, you know, you want to have success, especially in the postseason. I know you can't do this for 82 games, but you have to start playing, you know, in quotations, the right way. And for the Predators, to me, the right way is, yes, you have a fast team. Yes, you have some guys that are capable of putting up offensive numbers. But you have to have a commitment to defense, and that's not just your defensemen. That's everybody on the ice. That's your offensive players. You have to be committed to keeping the puck out of the net. You might not get as many offensive chances, but I guarantee you'll give up, you know, 30% less against you than you're going to get. And I think that's when the Predators are at the best is when the guys are, you know, they're making smart reads. They're not taking those 50-50 chances when you can go for a puck and maybe you get it, maybe you don't. If you don't get it, you know, the other team comes back the other way and they're on an odd man rush, you know, even though if you poke that puck away, you might get a shot or you might keep the puck in the zone. And I think lately the guys have really bought into that and they're playing a lot better defensively and structured. And to me, that's going to give them the best chance to win because you're not going to be able to score 5-6 goals a game or 4 goals a game for that matter. So I think if you can, you know, keep the goals against us come way down in those last 5 games that you're talking about there, 2 D-Mace. So I think that's the key for the Predators. You got to be willing to win some games 2-1 and 3-2 instead of the 6-5s and roll the dice with those ones.
Can you teach physicality and heaviness over the course of a season, or is that only something you can change with personnel moves?
Well, to me, it's over the long haul. That's personnel, and I think that's, you know, why you have a guy like Matthew Olivier in the lineup and Austin Watson and guys like that. That's part of their game. You know, you can't just say, you can't tell you know, let's say Kyle Turris go out there and play heavy and be get in the forecheck, you can bring more of an element of that and add that to your game. But I think, you know, personnel and toughness-wise is part of why somebody's in the lineup and their game. So I think it's a tough thing, but you can do it as if your team takes that mentality where you're gonna, you know, you're gonna finish your checks and you're gonna go to the net hard and you're gonna, you know, be heavy on pucks on the back check and all those types of things. I think you can have an element of it, but it's a fine line. It's part of who a player's identity is, and sometimes, you know, you can get out of your comfort zone a little bit, but over the long haul, it's tough to do.
Chris Mason, man, always a pleasure, bud. Enjoy some. You know, kick your feet up and have some popcorn and watch the game tonight. You don't get to do that very often.
I think I will, actually. I'm going to go schmooze and watch some hockey. I'm going to be a biggest fan in the building tonight.
I love it. See, mate, it's always a pleasure, man. Thanks, dude.
Okay, thanks, guys.
There you have it, Chris Mason. And some interesting stuff there on, you know, physicality, you know, focus on defense. He also thinks that it's important to have a pecking order in the goaltending situation figured out by playoff time, but that right now it's not a problem at all. So, don't take it from us. Take it from Chris Mason there.
Yeah, he played the game. He understands it. And he sits there and he watches it intently, game in and game out. You know, and for the Predators, he said it, this team, you know, they got a bunch of fast players. They got guys that can, you know, that are just marksmen, and they can score from anywhere.
Snipers.
You know, on the ice. But that means nothing if you're not playing on the other end of the ice. I think the better they become as a defensive team, it will be easier for them offensively to score goals. We see it in every sport. If you play really good defense, it makes your offense a little bit easier. And for the Predators, they're finding, you know, in their three wins, you know, they average just a little bit above three goals a game, and they gave up, you know, four goals in that span. So they're going to score goals, but if they continue to, you know, play defense the way they have been, this team is going to dig themselves out of whatever hole they're in.
And they've already sort of started.
Exactly.
Tonight needs to be a continuation of that, as, again, pregame at 6, puck drop at 7, national broadcast on TV, but you can listen to the local guys right here, of course, on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Now, if you want to go to the game, Derek and Marquise.
Absolutely.
Do we have something for our audience here?
Oh, yes, we do.
Is that what we have?
Ding, 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 ding.
You're just handing out stuff all week.
Hey, I'm Santa Claus. Black Santa Claus. Here you go. I'm giving out a pair of tickets.
That's actually Lovie Smith, by the way.
Yeah, that is right. Totally
yeah, is
true. You cannot take Lovie Smith's beard from him.
Absolutely.
You ain't going gray anytime soon.
No. You can win a pair of tickets to see Nashville. The Predators take on Tampa Bay, the Lightning.
That's tonight.
At Bridgestone Arena.
Hey-o.
Win.
Tonight.
Absolutely. So be the second caller.
Oh.
Ding, 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 oh. Ding, ding. 5 divided into 10, 102.5. There we go, baby.
That was some funny math there. I don't understand. 615-737-1025. And you'll go to the game tonight. Big finish when we come back. Morning Drive, Tuesday edition. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson. The big story last night, Derek Mason, was our producer, Marquise Munson. He was out. So let's run through all your names again, Marquise, for like all the different personalities you have, right? Like when you're producing this show, Derek, you're calling him Munson?
Yeah, he's Munson when he produces the show.
Munson when you're producing the show. All right. And then you are?
Keese in the street.
I'm Keese in the street.
When you're on a date? Or is that Marquise?
No, Marquise.
Marquise on the date.
Keese Marquise with like a symbol in the eye. Like a little like,
hey, Marquise.
So when you're out with Chase and the guys, and you're out just, you know, doing karaoke to Whitney Houston or whatever, for example, on social media on a Friday night, perhaps. What is that person's name?
Oh, that's definitely
Keese. That's Keese?
That's right, definitely Keese. Keese.
So when you're at a wrestling event with some of those guys.
Is it Double M?
What is your, see, like, that sounds like a wrestling nickname.
Yeah, Double M the Destroyer or something.
You just come up with that?
Yes, I did.
So Marquise was at Monday Night Raw last night. Is that did I get that right? I saw Ryan Ellis was there. I saw some Titans players were there. Explain your experience last night.
It was awesome, man.
Was Chase lit?
Chase is always like lit, man.
Because Kyle Busch was there. He's a huge NASCAR driver.
Oh.
So Chase has like all of his favorite loves coming together. It's Bridgestone Arena with Monday Night Raw and like Kyle Busch all together in one place. Like he's in his happy place. No fans allowed.
Compton and Long Beach together, man. You know you're in trouble.
We know it. Jimmy Garoppolo watches at home.
He watches some form of desperate Real Housewives of California.
Beverly
something.
Hills, yeah,
maybe something with a little
ETV.
And something with a little bit more risque.
Exactly. Bachelors in Paradise.
Absolutely.
Temptation Island, all those
good. I look at Jimmy, and this is totally unfair to Jimmy Garoppolo, but I look at Jimmy Garoppolo's face and I go, huge wrestling fan.
He's a pretty boy. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
No,
he wants nobody to touch his face, nobody to mess with
him. I agree with that.
He has a career in modeling afterwards, in television afterwards, he knows it.
I'm going to be a hand model. Floyd Reese joining us here on Morning Drive.
For whatever reason, the confidence that Ryan is showing as the quarterback and the timing and the control and the accuracy, all those things really, really have helped the offense. You know, not taking anything away from Derek and not taking anything away from the offensive line that I think is actually blocking a little bit better. You know, success breeds success. And when you feel good about yourself as an offense, you feel like you can do it, then, you know, the chances of you doing it are always much better.
Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football, joining us here on the show.
Because you look at the way that they played, the way they played down the stretch. You know, they beat Kentucky, and only two teams beat Kentucky in the final seven games of the season. The other one was Georgia in a driving rainstorm. And I've written this several times, guys, that if not, Ed Orgeron is going to be your SEC Coach of the Year. He'll probably be National Coach of the Year. He certainly deserves it. If not for Ed Orgeron, I think Jeremy Pruitt would be your SEC Coach of the Year. Because they were so far in the ditch this year. And sometimes the great coaching job is not the guy that goes 12-0. It's the guy who keeps a 2-9 season, keeps a tough season from turning into 3-9. And that's what he did. They were headed to a historically awful season, and they got it back on the road.
There were some rumors yesterday about Lane Kiffin taking over for Arkansas. Please, God, be true.
If Lane Kiffin goes to Arkansas, in 3 years, they will have a top 10 recruiting class. In 3 years.
He instantaneously brings interest to your program.
In 3 years, will have a top. Now, what they do with it, I don't know. But he will have a top 10 recruiting class.
He's like Bruce Pearl. He just fabricates tradition out of thin air. Like, it's hard to do that.
Arkansas has been winning for years and years.
The most interesting that Tennessee has been in 15 years was the year Lane Kiffin was there. Head coach of the Belmont Bruins basketball team, as college hoops is in full swing now. Casey Alexander joining us here on the show.
Belmont's an at-large team last year, and you know, for the NCAA tournament, and that had more to do with what happened non-conference than it did in-conference. Mm-hmm. They had a nice in-conference season, but you know, the best two wins in the OVC last year for all teams, the best two wins were Belmont beating Lipscomb twice. That literally had the most. That literally was the what propelled them into the NCAA tournament, and obviously those games are in November and December.
Mark Hudspeth joining us here, head football coach of your Austin Peay Governors.
So we're not doing a lot of guys that stuff. I've been here for a year, and this is what I've learned about Austin Peay and what I've learned about Clarksville. And, you know, every university is going to have a stadium. Every university is going to have a weight room. Every university is going to have a library, a cafeteria. You know, those things are all good. But you're only going to be in that stadium six times a year. You're only going to be in the library a few times a year. You're only going to be in every building, you know, so many times. What separates some universities from others? Just the people. Who is your son going to be with for 5 years, every day, day in and day out?
Hustle Man, what you got?
You're giving away free stuff every day on the show.
Absolutely. I'm giving away free tickets to the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium on Monday, December 30th. UT might be playing. You never know.
There's a good chance.
Exactly. Michigan State might be playing. You never
would
know.
Would you like a Michigan State-Tennessee game?
Oh, I would love it. Oh,
all
I would love it.
Alma mater versus alma mater?
Absolutely. I would love it. Oh, my goodness.
Would we have a bet going?
Definitely we would.
I think right now
I think it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen.
I think right now I might take Tennessee.
I think it's going to happen. Don't sleep on them Spartans, all right? We bring that Green Nation down here and whoop up on the Orange Nation and go back home.
Yeah, we'll see.
Close your trench coat now, buddy.
Wada, 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 wada.
Y'all want some DVDs? I got DVDs.
I got it all. Gold chains, I got it all.
I got two puppies. You want a puppy? I got a puppy. All right, so it's Tuesday, and it's a top four Tuesday. Give me your warble there.
So
go
what
ahead.
Is it? It's top four Tuesday.
That is right. By the way, join ESPN 102.5 The Game for the grand opening of a new branch of Fifth Third Bank at 2814 West End Avenue this Thursday from 2 to 4 p.m. I'll be there. Take a selfie and meet some of Nashville Predators as well as Nash from the 3 to 4 p.m. and spin the wheel for prizes and enter to win the Winter Classic jersey or autographed Nashville Predators merchandise while supplies last. That's this Thursday from 2 to 4 p.m. at the new Fifth Third Bank location at 2814 West End Avenue. Preds back on the ice tonight against Tampa Bay. Pregame at 6, puck drop at 7. Looks like Kyle Turris might play tonight. Also, who will be in net as UC Saros and Pekka Rinne keep battling each other for playing time, which, again, we've decided is a good thing on the show right now, as well as Top 4 Tuesday. Keep an eye on Oklahoma and Utah, and then keep an eye on number one as well. Is it Ohio State? Is it LSU? Mm. I assume it'll be Ohio State, but that'll be interesting. So, a lot going on.
We will see.
A lot going on tonight.
Absolutely. Tomorrow?
And
we are on location.
Sudden Service. Bring toys and winter clothing as well as school supplies out to Sudden Service. You can also bring
Noblesville
it by the
Pike.
You can also bring it by the station at any point this week. So really, in the spirit of giving this week, we're very proud of that. Keep an eye on shots on goal tonight. Doesn't look like it'll be on the screen.
Mm-mm.
Just wanted to say that.
Absolutely.
Won't be on screen. For Derek Mason, my name's Brayden Gall. Marquise Munson producing. Thanks for listening, everybody. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, stay warm, and I love you.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.